Hello, ladies and germs. Welcome to PWT Talks NXT. The date is Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. My name is Harvey R. Padgett. I'm hosting this week because Kelly Wells doesn't care about you. He just leaves. He wines you and dines you, breaks your heart, and abandons you. And now I know how Johnny Gargano feels. I'm joined by Justin James.
Hi, I'm Justin James. Justin underscore M underscore James, and I spit in the eye of Kelly Wells, and I feel no heartbreak, no shame, and no regrets.
He blows his nose in his general direction. We're also joined.
I thumb my nose at thee, good sir.
There you go. And Tom Stopp is here as well.
Yes. Now that the Kelly Wells fairy tale is over, let me see if I remember how to do this. I am at Tom Staup on Twitter, and I've been tweeting recently about some of the new NXT signees, as well as some rumors for some upcoming ones. There's some interesting stuff floating around, so you can follow me at Tom Staup if you want. I don't know. Maybe Kelly will make a run-in later, though.
Oh, let's hope not. We saw in tonight's episode how disastrously a run-in can go awry. Because we got ourselves a new champion. And yes, we have ourselves a new champion. We'll get to that. Let's start off with Kelly Wells. He sent us a trivia question. I started this gimmick, and he's stealing my gimmick of when you're not on the show, you send in a trivia question. Kelly's trivia question, I'm going to read it now. You listeners can mull over it all episode long, and then we'll reveal the answer at the end of the show. And his question is, before the Ciampa-Gargano feud, what was the longest non-title singles match at a takeover? Just off the bat, Justin, Tom, any quick guesses?
Oh, wow. See, I had mulled this over, and I totally read it wrong. I was thinking the longest non-title singles feud.
Ooh. Longest Sami Zayn versus the title?
Non-title.
Sami Zayn's got to be one of them, maybe like versus Cesaro or versus Shinsuke, maybe.
I think Cesaro had that two out of three falls match with him, which was fairly lengthy.
Right.
Cesaro and Regal had a one. Let me ask you this: was the Bayley Sasha match that was for the Iron Woman match? That was for the title.
That was for a title, so yeah.
That was for the title. Yeah, because I remember like if it came up even at the end, it didn't matter because it was even. She still retained.
All right, we shall find out.
I kind of like Zayn versus Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls.
All right, we'll find out in an hour. In the meantime, there was a weekly TV show this week, as usual. We had a bunch of matches, and the main event was the NXT Championship on the line. It's rare that we get the NXT title defended on weekly television. I would have to say it's even rarer that we get a title change. Has it happened before? I should know this, but I don't.
Was the last one when Big E won it from – or no, it would be when Bo Dallas won it from Big E.
Yep, ladder match. Because Neville versus Zayn and Neville versus Dallas, there were takeovers. That's when the takeover era had really begun. So,
yeah, we did get a Joe. Was it Joe and Balor got a title change at like a live event in Japan? But on weekly NXT TV, nothing's coming to mind for me. Nothing in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, like I remember Balor challenging Owens on weekly TV. Like he may have been Owens's first or second title defense, but Owens won that. Are you going to count? No, I guess we can't count the Balor versus Owens in Japan as weekly TV because that happened. That was like one of those 4 in the morning things.
Right. I believe the most recent one, which was a successful defense, was McIntyre Strong.
Yeah, so we get it defended sparingly on TV. The title change in hands almost never happens. And so before we get into discussing the actual match itself, which took up half of this week's episode, Ciampa made his entrance at the 8:30 mark by my count, so literally half the show. was this match. But before we get into that, let's talk about a thing called spoilers. Tom was live in the arena when this match happened, so he knew what was going on. Justin, were you able to avoid knowing the result going into this match tonight?
100%. Like the only time in the last, the only time a match ever gets spoiled for me is because of the WWE app on my phone. It spoiled the it spoiled the Mustache Mountain title win in UK for me a couple weeks ago. But outside of that, that was like the first thing that got spoiled for me in years. All I have to do is just disable the notifications. This is a side effect of really not being Mr. Twitter and none of my friends on Facebook, you know, read spoilers or posts or anything like that. So I'm really grateful I'm able to avoid spoilers.
Yes, and I wish I could, because I try. I apparently not as hard as you. For me, first it was one of the wrestling news sites had huge spoiler for this past week's TV tapings, and right away my brain says there's got to be like the Ciampa wins. I don't know what else would constitute huge at this time in NXT. And then
Lars Sullivan cracking walnuts with his teeth, despite his broken jaw.
He's somehow already back in the ring.
Is he really?
Yeah, he just had his first match back at a live event.
He does not appear as though he's
wearing anything.
Well, that's very interesting. But yeah, there was that. And then a couple days ago, I was checking Wikipedia to remind myself how many titles there are on the main roster.
Oops.
Because the context, the question was up about should they add women's tag titles. And I'm thinking, how many titles do they have on Raw and SmackDown? So I'm scrolling down and then NXT champion, Tommaso Ciampa. And I'm like, you freaking like bastards. I'm not expecting this. It's my own fault, clearly. But anyway, my point is Andrew Gamble, our number one listener, wrote in with a question sort of on this topic. And Andrew's question this week is, do you ever see NXT going live instead of tapings? I had tonight's main event spoiled for me last week before I even knew I needed to avoid spoilers. I usually read the reports from the tapings because I can't always watch NXT when it airs, so I'm not too upset about it, but I'd still like to hear your thoughts. Do you think they could do a live episode, then a taped episode, or something like that? So there's a question. I mean, my guess, and I'm sure Tom will confirm this, the problem with NXT being live weekly is it's only a one-hour show. Are you going to be able to fill a whole arena once a week for three matches? 40 minutes of television?
Exactly. Sometimes when, you know, the match is going to be Kona Reeves versus Raul Mendes.
Raul Mendes finally gets his first win. I'd sign up for that.
I know I messed up his last name, and now I can't think of what is correct.
It's Mendoza. Thank you. Eichner versus the world, and he could win.
And yeah, that is part of the problem. I think the other problem, and we've discussed possibly going live with certain live events here and there, although it would become really, really tricky. I want to say that Impact Wrestling has run into this issue a couple times, or at least I've heard about it, haven't actually seen it myself, where they will do all these tapings and then do something from a completely different arena, and the continuity is just all over the place. So that becomes really, really tricky, and you introduce a bunch of variables on top of the length of the show that you're talking about. I mean, granted, they could probably put a whole other live event around it and then only air the stuff, only the hour that goes live is the stuff that they want to actually advance storylines, perhaps. However, then you also have the issue that this, to me, implies that you're also going to take these shows on the road, because why wouldn't you? Why that would help draw the crowds. I mean, if they went live, even though I live so close to Full Sail, I probably wouldn't be going out every single Wednesday. Once a month is more than enough for me personally. So then you run into, I think, did I make my point? Because my mind just blanks. I'm so good at
this. I think the point you're making is that you wouldn't be bothered to get off your lazy tail to go to NXT Weekly, and so nobody else will. Therefore, it's a bad idea. I think I just summarized what you were trying to say, right?
What if they packaged it for the network as NXT 205 Live back-to-back, taped in front of the same audience. So then you got 2 hours of wrestling. You're more reason for you to go out to these events.
And that would be pretty reasonable in my mind.
But then you still run into what I think would be the issue. Take SmackDown, it's a two-hour show. If you're paying to go to a SmackDown event, you're expecting to see Styles and Bryan and people like that. And that's one of the, I feel, advantages of NXT right now, is they don't feel the need for Baszler or Black to be on every single week, right? I feel like they'd be pressured into that situation if you're doing it in front of live customers.
Absolutely. And thankfully, I remembered my point. I must be such a joy to listen to for anybody who actually wants real information delivered in a concise manner. You're also introducing so many expenses, traveling sets. The live event sets are not as complex as the taping sets. You need more crew there. And I mean, yeah, travel can be worked in. But the travel expense becomes an issue when you're constantly removing these people from this this little nucleus they have of the performance center only being a mile or two away from Full Sail, and them going in for daily training Monday through Friday. So you're disrupting that whole system. So with Gamble's question of ever, I mean, we'll see what changes. But right now they've got a pretty smooth system that's working, and things like this absolutely drive me crazy. Spoiler culture is just so hard to get around. That was one of the reasons why I remained so mum about anything at all happening. Sometimes I feel like it's a spoiler just to suggest that I don't know something's going to happen, because that means that in the rest of the content that I sat through live, I didn't learn that information. So then I'm revealing that no further advancement was made. You had Triple H tweeting, ooh, you better tune in tonight. You had other people going, ooh, this is going to be crazy, who don't usually comment on it. Actually, Justin, you said that you successfully avoided the spoiler. Did your senses get perked up at all when you saw, or if you saw, people talking about spoilers that much more about this particular episode?
Who would I see talking about spoilers? I don't use Twitter like you.
Well, that's very wise of you.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, like, if you don't use Twitter, and like when I go to wrestling sites, for one thing, I only go to pwtorch.com. Thank you very much. That's pwtorch.com. And when I do go to pwtorch.com, it's specifically to look up Raw and SmackDown taping results or event results. So I'll just, I just go to the menu, hit TV reports, Raw, SmackDown, and read the reports that I intend to read. So that keeps me like super free of spoilers. And the Torch's site is really good about not having spoilers just blasting on their website in a fashion. I've never been spoiled by that site before. So for me, I just don't have stuff spoiled for me. So I'm very grateful for that. Like this would not be nearly as fun for me knowing the results in advance. It's bad enough that I can put my Booker hat on and make fairly accurate predictions.
Yeah, that was so.
But at least that's fun. At least that's fun. It's like I'm making a bet against myself. And if I lose, I don't pay myself anything.
Yeah, like I didn't want to know who won tonight. It definitely ruined the match for me. I mean, granted, this was a fantastic match. Let's get that out of the way. This was a hell of a match. But I definitely spent, the one thing that definitely hurt it for me was I spent almost the entire match waiting for Gargano to show up.
Because, well, we all did, because we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, and so as great as a lot of the near falls were, and I loved that they were able to get me invested in like a near fall off a German suplex and make that look believable. I loved that. But I still spent the whole time going, it's not going to end until Johnny shows up. When's Johnny going to show up? Sort of thing. And as soon as I heard the spoiler and knew Ciampa won, right away my brain said, oh, so Johnny tries to interfere and screws up by accident. And that's how it ends. And sure enough, it did. Which, that's a bummer. I don't know.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, notsam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list, of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
Tom, you were there live in the arena. Obviously, nothing could be spoiled for you. So, what'd you think?
Right. And I can't remember whether it was a conversation we had or if I was talking with someone else, but this was something that myself and perhaps you guys as well agreed was a probable outcome, was exactly what occurred. Johnny trying to – I mean, this is what they've been building up to. They've been very, very calculated with this whole long storyline. That's why – no matter how many times we think it should end, no matter how many times I think it should end, I keep getting wrapped back up into it because they're doing such a good job with the narrative. And that's the trajectory Johnny has been on since his most recent takeover loss, is just seeing red and not being himself and making mistakes. And it really seemed like he was just going to become so consumed with preventing Ciampa from winning the championship that he was going to fail in that and cause him to win the championship in the process. And maybe that's the reality jog that Gargano needs to become our Gargano again. And so that, all that considered, added to the fact that not only did I want the black title reign to end, I'm not sure if I ever mentioned this on the podcast, it almost felt like a token that, you know, Aleister Black was the 13th NXT champion.
I didn't even notice that. I don't think they've ever mentioned that.
I feel like they mentioned it at one point, and they definitely made a point of mentioning Ciampa being the 14th tonight, which reminded me of it.
That's so lame. That is so lame.
Yeah, and we've been well documented in our criticisms of Black's title run, but also we've been talking about how we thought that Gargano Ciampa, which clearly is still continuing in some form, if not needed, at least could use a title to become that much more interesting. And it's definitely been the A story going on in NXT. So this was absolutely the result that I predicted and wanted. And having the luxury of watching it live and not knowing what was going to happen for sure before it did, I was very satisfied in seeing it play out exactly how I felt it should. It's probably just because I was thinking, you know, these were the ideas that I was thinking in my own head, that seeing them play out was almost validating. Like, yes, oh, good. Somebody else thought that was a good idea, too. Somebody who actually knows what they're doing back there. It was a very satisfying. It was probably one of the best, if not the best, matches that I've seen live at NXT, probably live, period. You know, you become so invested in it, and just personally seeing, even taking the character out of it, just seeing how far Tommaso Ciampa has come, it was just really, really rewarding. And it was just absolutely an easy match of the year contender, for so many reasons.
For me, it often comes down to the little things, and there are a couple things in this match that really made it for me, that I really enjoyed. So many times we see a ref bump, and it's like, you know, the referee gets jostled in the ring, and he's out cold for 5 minutes. He takes one punch, and he's dead to the world. That wasn't the case here. Drake Wirtz took a full back bump off the apron onto the concrete, and he wasn't knocked out cold or anything. He was just lying there on the ground, hurt. Because he fell on a concrete. Totally,
you know, this is
believable.
This is now the second time that a match that involved Tommaso Ciampa involved Drake Wirtz getting ref bumped and screwing up the match finish as a result.
Oh, you smell conspiracy?
No, not conspiracy. I'm just saying that this is the second time it's happened, so it's not officially overdone. Are we going to see
at
a video?
Next takeover, Champa versus Wurtz.
Yeah. Are we going to see a video of like Wurtz shaking Black saying like, I'm sorry, man, I really screwed up again. I don't know why they let me keep refereeing the main results. We're just going to have to let that other referee, Jessica Carr referee, and nobody knows her name except for Tom Staupe.
Right. Oh, and Aubrey Edwards is the name of the new female referee that they're that they've brought in now. I learned that.
Stalker.
Oh, well, you know, got to find out. I'm sure she'll be involved in the Mae Young Classic. She did. We're just talking among. I'm speaking to you too, but we have an audience right now. Aubrey Edwards refereed the dark match before the tapings, which. If anybody's interested, I'll pull up in the meantime, but go ahead and continue the conversation.
I mean, the big thing is, like, with regards to the main question here, you know, spoilers aside and stuff, do I see NXT going live? I don't think so quite yet. I would not mind seeing, like, they could even keep the current format and doing one live episode a night, but one live episode per taping. But, you know, as we've heard from Tom, there's a lot of times where something happens in the live setting where, you know, there's a botch or something. And then when they actually show the show, it's edited out. And, you know, seeing as NXT still is, believe it or not, you know, training grounds for people who've never wrestled before, you know, people out of the people who are less experienced and so on. I don't mind it if they edit a botch out, you know, and I think there is value to that. You know, they're not going to put, you know, a Lacey Evans from 6 months ago on a takeover live for a reason. But they can trust her to be on TV knowing that if she botches something, they can just edit it out. So
yeah, it's a safe space for someone like a Kona Reeves to learn in front of a live TV audience without worrying about looking terrible forever.
Too late.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, so Ciampa and Gargano – Ciampa and Black, and now Black and Gargano. Black officially has two losses in NXT. The first being pinned by Johnny Gargano in a fatal four-way. The second being hit in the head with a title belt by Johnny Gargano. So are we still thinking triple threat at Brooklyn?
I am for sure. I mean, the way this ended, there's no way Black's going to accept that.
And then that'll be Black's rematch, and... then what? Raw or SmackDown the week after SummerSlam?
One would imagine.
205? No, he's 215.
Yeah. Which one, though? Raw or SmackDown? His gimmick seems like a Raw gimmick.
You know, I was thinking about this week because we've agreed since we started talking about it before WrestleMania that he would fit right in on Raw. But SmackDown really has a babyface problem right now. So he could actually freshen up what they've got going on SmackDown right now. So that could be a fit for the time being.
Is he going to be the champ that runs the camp?
They're already printing the t-shirts.
Justin, do you have any other thoughts about the match itself? The other thing I really enjoyed, aside from the ref bump being really plausible, was when Gargano got involved. Because this is another one of these situations where somebody will come out and interfere in a match right at the end, and you're thinking, well, why didn't they come out 15 minutes ago? The match could end.
I always have that thought.
Yeah. But this one, it was good. He only came out – he was willing to let Black settle the score himself. He only came out when the title belt got involved and the referee was down.
Where was he hiding? How do you know this?
He was watching from the crowd, watching from behind the curtains. People actually do that.
But where did he come out from? Everybody heard him cheering, but they didn't show him right now. Like, you knew he was there because he heard everybody cheering. And so, like, you know, putting on my Booker hat, I know that Gargano's there because I hear him cheering and I expect him to get involved in the match. Where did he come from?
Like, I don't know. Tom, where did he come from?
If you're looking through the hard cam, he came from the left, which is the – entrance
the ramp
that all the fans come through. No, the ramp is on the opposite side.
Okay, so he's only appeared from the concession area or the bathroom or something. Was he sitting in the toilet hiding and watching on his cell phone? I mean, where was – how did he know to like that stuff, it always feels so forced and so staged. It's to me, a run-in's okay if they're coming from down from the – you know, from Gorilla or something, where you'd be like, okay, yeah, I get where this guy – how he saw and how he knew, like, this is the moment. But even then, it takes so long to run down there. You're like, okay, so we had to make that decision, run down there, that's a jog, get in the ring, stand back up, and then you're like, come on, dude. Like, if you got all that time to do your run, and Aleister Black is either up or is not. Aleister Black told him to stay out of his business. Aleister Black was in no way – it's like, what's the worst that would happen? He would have gotten knocked with the belt, and Ciampa would have gotten DQ'd. I mean, or whatever. I know that Wurtz was out cold, but the whole thing just felt so forced and dumb. Like, maybe if they showed him in the stands or something, it would have been okay. And they show him like jumping the barrier, Ronda Rousey style, it would have been okay. But nobody jumps a barrier like Ronda.
I just assume he was watching on the monitor in the locker room, and when the second the ref went down, he started heading to the ring. And so as he's making his way to the ring, Ciampa is getting the title and wrestling with Black for the title, and Full Sail's not that big, I gotta imagine. Not from the locker room.
No, especially
to the
once
ring.
You're in there,
it's a rat's
smaller.
It's a rat's warren. There's like they got a thousand places for EC3 to meet his fans.
And over where Hard Cam is, there are, you can sort of see them. There are a couple rows of fans in front of Hard Cam, but behind that it's all tech. So there's no other fans over there. So Johnny probably, if we're thinking about it practically here, he probably walked through where all that tech and camera work is, like back where Triple H and Shawn Michaels sit and Jeremy Borash. Actually, sorry, weird side note. I'm full of these the week after the taping. Jeremy Borash was at ringside for this match, but not doing the looking for the loudest fan thing. They actually didn't do that at this taping, and I'm wondering if that's a direct response to how distracting it became.
It was a direct response for our podcast, no doubt. I'm sure that
Of course,
Trips and HPK said, Jeremy, like, we get it, dude. We appreciate your enthusiasm for the product, but Tom, Justin, and Kelly called you out on it.
Right,
you gotta stop the junk.
But
and just sell some merchandise.
If the quote-unquote camera guy that got knocked out of the way before Ciampa pulled up the mat,
That was the dumbest garbage.
They've done some like crowd and crew plants with Ciampa's matches recently, his bigger matches, that either work really well or they just look totally planned out and they're pretty cheesy. But right where that camera guy was, if the shot just moved up a little bit, you would have seen Jeremy Borash right there behind the barricade, and I have no idea what he was doing. He had this skinny little tripod, and it looked like he had maybe his phone set up on it. It looked like he was just personally filming the goings-on himself. I didn't read WWE's spoiler article about this, which actually they didn't put out with the headline of title change. They said major news, which was at least a little bit of an improvement if they absolutely have to beat the quote unquote dirt sheets. I don't know if maybe he was filming something specifically for that, but it was, I don't know what he was doing. It was just an odd sight.
It was just periscoping for Ciampa's wife.
So a periscope.
Sure. Second email of the show, Steve Lanham from Maryland sent us a rather lengthy email, and we're already running a bit short on time because Justin James is here.
What?
So I'm going to skim through Steve's email instead and kind of pull out a little bit. One of his big questions in the email is, what do you think about how long Ciampa's title run will be? Steve thinks Gargano beats Ciampa for the title at TakeOver during WrestleMania weekend, which is a little far away. But yeah, the question of how long Ciampa will hold on to the title, that's always a big question mark in this day and age, is how long these guys are champions for. Tom, what do you think?
I think that this is going to be an anomaly championship that will last no longer than these tapings and TakeOver, and I do think that Gargano is finally going to work his way into this match somehow. There I go, possibly saying something I shouldn't. I think that this will finally be the redeeming moment for him. I think that he finally realized the error of his ways, and his mind is clear now, and the fans will finally get their feel-good moment, and Ciampa's reign of terror will not be able to leave the launching pad. I was kind of thinking of it as a little bit of a mirror of that myself. Yeah. Although I think I want to say Sammy's lasted a little bit longer than that. It definitely did a very little bit. But WrestleMania weekend definitely seems like it's going to be too long of a stretch for this. But like I said earlier, this storyline keeps drawing me back in, and it's so heated between these two guys still at this point that it's not outside the realm of possibility for this to continue, for Ciampa to retain, and for something to continue that would keep us invested in the storyline, that you know, find some new level for them to go to that keeps it fresh.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
Justin, how long does Ciampa hold the title for, and does Gargano take it from him?
Jeez. This is some good TV, don't get me wrong. Like, this is good TV. Like, every episode with these two and now these three on it individually is good TV. I am so worn out on Gargano Ciampa. I am so worn out by this, and I know we've mentioned this before, but my fatigue has hit a new level tonight with these. Like, I'm not sure how many more 20 to 30 minute matches I can watch of this, you know, of these guys. I feel like they would give these guys an hour, and it would be a great hour match if they went triple threat for the title. But I'm like, I'm so burnt out. I'm like, can Ciampa just like Nakamura Gargano and end this thing real quick or something, you know, low blow before the bell and pin them, just make it quick? I'm burnt out.
Yeah, I'm as to whether Gargano takes the title from him, I don't even care anymore.
Like, my brain can't even fantasy book anymore, because like I'm all out of fantasy and I'm now dealing with like the cold hard reality that like everything I like about this show is now being like hijacked to become the never end. Like, even Shayna Baszler is now peripherally involved by telling Candace to go home and be a family woman, to misquote Guile from Street Fighter 2. And you're like, even Shayna Baszler is being sucked into this somehow. Just stop. Give me my Shayna back.
My thing is this. Tonight's episode was Johnny Gargano's 81st NXT appearance, tying Scott Dawson. In the history of NXT, only 6 wrestlers have appeared on more episodes.
And one of them is Cassius Ohno.
Big Cass, Sasha Banks, Neville, Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze, and Bayley.
No Cassius Ohno?
No Cassius. So only 6 people in the history of NXT have made more NXT appearances than Gargano. At this rate, he'll likely pass Big Cass's record by Brooklyn, which would put him in the number 6 spot on that list. So it would be very surprising for Gargano to be still on the roster come spring. That would be a long. He'd pass Bayley and Breeze for the new record, for sure. That seems like a long way to stretch this thing out. I don't know. I don't know how Gargano Ciampa ends. You think the hero has to beat the villain, take the title back, and then Ciampa goes up somewhere, and then Gargano. But then who does Gargano lose the title to? At that point, it becomes, they're so involved in each other, it doesn't make sense for either of their storylines to end up individually from each other. I don't know. I don't know where it goes from here. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a question mark. But WrestleMania weekend, I mean, the way that wrestling and NXT works, the speed at which things develop, by the time we get to TakeOver WrestleMania, I mean, it'll probably be Matt Riddle versus Kenny Omega for the title.
Right,
Gargano, yeah. Gargano Ciampa will be a distant memory.
Oh, man, I hope the Matt Riddle rumors are true. Is that going to be TakeOver Brooklyn again due to the area of the country that WrestleMania is in?
Oh, maybe it'll just be like TakeOver Queens, TakeOver NYC, something. One of the other boroughs.
TakeOver SVU.
There you go. Yeah. TakeOver, I don't know any of the other.
TakeOver Criminal Event.
So, I don't know. Have we talked this match to death, Ciampa and Black? Are we ready to move on? I think so.
I'm even burnt out on this podcast. You burnt me out, guys.
Well, let's move on to something else then. We had a contract signing tonight. The first official match for TakeOver Brooklyn 4. It's Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane for the women's title. We had the return of William Regal. He has been ill, legit. That's not kayfabe. He's actually been sick, but he's back on TV, so that's good because he had been gone a while. He'd been gone long enough that I was afraid. Like, we were going to wake up one morning to a tweet saying, you know, RIP. Because if we keep him off TV, I have no idea how bad things are or what the situation is. But he looked healthy enough to film TV angle, so that's good news. And that was kind of the highlight of the segment for me. Justin, what did you think of Shayna and Kyrie's contract signing?
Oh, man, I popped hard for William Regal's return. He doesn't make many appearances on the show, but when he does, they're almost always high impact. This was kind of a low point, I think, in Baszler's work. I don't know. She just seems to work better in a more live setting. Like, she feeds off the energy, I guess. I don't know. But what I really liked was after Baszler left and Sane kind of reassured herself to Regal that she had what it takes. Regal just kind of gave her this look like, I'm not sure if that look was, you don't know what you're getting into, or I feel bad for you because a match against Baszler is no prize, or if it was, okay, you know, sunshine, as he likes to say. I don't know what that look he gave her was, but it was intriguing and it was mysterious and it was fun. And thank you, Regal, for making a return.
Yeah, he's so, even when he was healthy, limited appearances, but each one served a purpose. Never just coming out for a 20-minute segment to announce tonight's main event. It was always for a big pay-per-view style match.
That's not how things go down here on NXT. We're booking a tag team match right now, playa.
That's what I was afraid of. If Regal really was too ill to compete on the show, all of a sudden Teddy Long shows up and,
oh god,
10-man takes every week.
Or Vicky Guerrero. Excuse me.
That would be fantastic. Actually,
the worst GMs always were on SmackDown.
Man, Vicky was great. Come on. Obviously not a spoiler to say Regal is back. I also don't think it's a spoiler to say that he did make an appearance in front of the live crowd as well, which was great to see. He definitely got a warm reception. I've mentioned it before. I really like that Kairi and Shayna have continued to be opposite one another for a whole year now. And even though I favor Shayna, if I absolutely have to pick between the two, Kairi just has this adorable gumption that makes me want to see her win. And she's got me invested in her hopefully winning this TakeOver match. And I continue to like how nonchalant Shayna is. I continue to fail to see the criticisms. I feel like she's just, she really embodies this
killer who absolutely knows that she's a killer, so she doesn't even have to really posture all that much because she knows that she can get the work done. Was it last week that somebody asked her, like, oh, well, what did you learn from wrestling Nikki Cross?
And I learned I could beat her.
Yeah, yeah. And I love stuff like that, and this was absolutely that again, whereas they definitely – she sees the writing on the wall – or not the writing on the wall, but she sees that they're trying to book it as, you know, oh, it's the rematch of the Mae Young Classic. It's this. These guys are true rivals, and she's just like, whatever. I'm just going to win again. Who cares? So I really like that. They did this on SmackDown recently with Shinsuke and AJ. They did a filmed backstage signing. So they're doing that here now as well. And it's one of those things that we used to see in a foregone era a bygone era of WWF. And they're bringing that back, it seems. It might not have just been a one-off thing on SmackDown.
And that's another thing that we probably would lose if we went to a weekly show. All these sort of backstage segments and pre-taped stuff.
Because they got to have something to fill the time.
Yeah. But it definitely seems like Baszler Sane at Brooklyn is purposely... It's being booked to tie into Mae Young Classic 2.
Right.
Show where the winners of that have gone on, where they are a year later. I'm also wondering... Tom, you probably heard that Shayna's four horsewoman compatriot and wife of Roderick Strong, Marina Shafir, is making her live debut for NXT.
Yes, and on the same night, so is Jessamine Duke, who was the one that I saw at the food trucks at the tapings last week. And I asked her if she was going to be in the Mae Young Classic, and her response was, if they let me.
So those two will probably be NXT bound sooner than later. And so is an old friend of Kairi Sane named Io Shirai. So I can't help but think that maybe we're heading to something with these groups, the two women of Stardom versus the four horsewomen in some sort of capacity after TakeOver. But I guess time will tell on that front. In the meantime, here's another little thing. Candice LeRae and Shayna Baszler got into a little scuffle backstage, and Candice had to be pulled off of her. So, if you guys are anything like me, and I think we are, right away my brain says, okay, so Baszler's going to beat Kairi, and it's going to be Shayna and Candice at the next takeover, and Candice will beat her for the title.
That's about where I was heading with this in my mind.
Yeah,
but so Lacey Evans is being kept so strong. I almost feel like we could be swerved and see Sane win the title, and then see Lacey Evans as her first challenger.
What about Miss Bianca Belair? Undefeated. Undefeated.
Undefeated. Say it right. Yeah. EST.
We'll talk about Belair more in a little bit. But yeah. Candice being involved, I always like the idea of multiple people gunning and being vocal about coming for the champion. It makes the championship seem important if many people are talking about, I want that title, even if they don't have a match scheduled. I like that. But in this instance, it does feel like Candice and Shayna is just being foreshadowed for the future. And as a result, it undercuts Kairi's chances. Tom, what do you think?
I think I'll withhold comment, as I should have done earlier when we were talking about Ciampa and Gargano.
All right. Is Brooklyn going to be all triple threat matches? Is that the spoiler?
I think that Brooklyn is going to be a very special takeover. They're really going to have to trip over themselves to mess it up. I think the card is going to be going in one of the most exciting. I'll say that much.
They've always done a really good job of making Brooklyn. And we're now in Brooklyn 4, if I recall. Yeah, Brooklyn 4. Yeah. And Brooklyn is...
Brooklyn IV.
And because you're going to need a blood replenishment after you watch this show. they've just done a really, really great job at making Brooklyn feel as... They make Brooklyn and the WrestleMania... takeovers feel really special, but because Brooklyn is not competing with WrestleMania, I think that they put just an extra little extra effort into it. And, you know, Brooklyn's where you saw things like Sasha Banks versus Bayley in the Iron Woman match. Stuff like that. I mean, Banks and Bayley made Brooklyn what it is.
That's true.
Yeah. Brooklyn is NXT's WrestleMania.
Yep, it really is. It's become, you know, just as Hogan and Andre, you know, made WrestleMania what it is, Banks and Bayley made Brooklyn what it is. I think they're going to forever be known as, you know, the foundation of that show. And it's just really, really a special show. And again, they always put the extra effort in WrestleMania, but Brooklyn is the WrestleMania. And I think that they have such a strong lineup here where, you know, Baszler's strong and we all want to see Sane beat her, but Baszler's a beast. You know, Gargano, Ciampa, Black, that mess is going to get resolved, hopefully for good, in Brooklyn. You've got something going on. It looks like we maybe head towards triple threat match with Mustache Mountain, War Raiders, and Undisputed Era. We're going to get Cole versus Ricochet. I mean, this is a stacked card. I don't know where we're going to fit Dream in here, but we got to fit Dream in here.
Dream in EC3.
Okay, I said we're trying to get a special card and a special match. I don't know. We're going to fit Dream in here, but we got to fit Dream.
Dream and EC3, two guys who wish they would rock.
Not a special match to me.
Well, they got 3 weeks to prove you wrong.
Rich Van, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Our next email comes from Charles Harkins. Charles writes, "To me, Triple H is more into guys who can cut promos and wrestle, and not massive big guys. Dan Matha, Tino Riddick, Fabian Aichner, Raul Mendoza, Dijak. Having them mostly as jobbers, losing to significantly smaller guys, which has had an influence on Vince, who had Finn have a competitive match with Braun and Daniel Bryan versus Cass. So hopefully this could be a sign it's believable for a smaller guy to match up well or beat a much taller wrestler. And I'm reading this now because we're going to discuss Adam Cole in a minute, which ties in. But Charles' question is, who can replace Triple H when he leaves NXT? And when he does leave, will Jeremy Borash come with him? To me, it may be Shawn Michaels and Road Dogg who took over when he went to the Greatest Royal Rumble. I don't see Road Dogg taking over NXT because he's already basically running SmackDown. So he's at that point. Shawn Michaels, I don't know. I always thought he was more of like a trainer and better at like the character development stuff like that rather than running a whole show. Borash seems like a guy who would be open to running the TV show, the TV end of things.
Because he really put some butts in seats at TNA.
Well, I mean,
come on, you guys got a track record of losing, but yeah, let's put him in charge of NXT.
He wasn't running Impact. You know, he was like involved in the creative thing, but he wasn't like the top guy or anything. Not to the extent that Triple H is.
Yeah, there are a bunch of extenuating circumstances there.
Yeah, it's all many, many questions about who and when and so on. And I mean, Vince has his fingers in Raw and SmackDown and pretty much everything WWE does to an extent. So that's the big thing, too, is I think even when Triple H leaves NXT, he'll still more or less be in charge. He won't be there for the day-to-day purposes, but he'll be still in charge of the direction of the show and storylines and probably discussing champions and things like that. I don't think he'll ever be willing to give up his baby altogether.
I'd like to see William Regal William Regal's just got such a wealth of wrestling knowledge. You know, he's not just one of these guys who's an old timer. He's like an old timer's old timer, you know? or this is going to sound crazy, Undertaker.
That does sound a little crazy. Probably for the same reason that Shawn Michaels taking over doesn't sound
plausible. They don't want to be running a show. They don't want to be running a show.
Right.
That's the big thing. And it's one thing to be a great wrestler or to be like even a great trainer, but to be good at running a TV show, totally different story.
And you have to want it. Like you have to want to not just show up at those tapings once a month. You have to want it showing up at that performance center every single day. You have to want to be showing up at all those, because I can tell you, Triple H shows up at those on the road live events.
Absolutely.
I know that.
Absolutely.
No, for a fact, I've seen the guy.
Yeah, and he shows the appreciation. I'll always remember when the hurricane hit this area last year and the tapings had to be delayed a day and we still didn't have power. When we got to the tapings, he came out personally and just thanked everybody for putting up with everything and thanking us for being there. I agree with Harley that he probably will never fully take his fingers off of it completely, just because it really is his baby and he's become identified so much with it. This is going to be such a major aspect of his career in retrospect, if not the major aspect. But the names that we've thrown around already do seem plausible for increased responsibility. Regal for the obvious reasons. Borash, because like you're saying, Justin, you need somebody who really wants it and has that passion. And I think Borash brings that. He has an excitement.
With a knowledge of production and that side of things.
And obviously
that's more
very creative and resourceful, and he can do things on a shoestring or he can do things with a budget. The other name, and this goes back to, I want to say, our first episode when the three of us first sat down for PWT Talks NXT, Cassius Ohno could be an option.
I don't think he knows anything about running a show, does he?
I mean, he's been with NXT long enough that he's probably learned quite a bit. They do train all across the board. I'll always remember seeing a shot of Bayley running. What was she doing? She was like blocking out an episode or something. I don't know. They learn those aspects of it. I'm not sure if that's on a voluntary basis or if they're actually assigned it here and there. But he's definitely had the opportunity to learn those things. He's unofficially referred to as a coach at the Performance Center, and he's known for his immense wealth of knowledge about wrestling.
Yeah, see, I see him becoming like a booker or an agent or a trainer, maybe part of creative. I just don't see him as running the whole shebang.
Yeah.
This is a really like impossible question to answer. I mean, the guy who's in charge of New Japan is Gato. The guy in charge of Ring of Honor is Delirious. Neither of those guys are world champions or main eventers, but they have, you know, visions and ideas in other capacities. So whoever ends up taking over will probably be somebody that we're not even thinking of at this point.
Right.
Somebody like Joey Mercury or somebody like, you know, Matt Hardy will retire and decide he wants to do something more creative or something like that. We could do a whole show on this, so let's move on. Our opening contest on this episode, Adam Cole versus Sean Maluda from the Cruiserweight Classic. Remember that thing? That feels like it was a while ago now.
It was.
Yeah, him versus Ibushi, right?
Wow. And whatever happened to that Ibushi guy?
He never signed a contract. He went back to Japan.
He never signed a contract. He went nowhere. So Cole versus Maluda. I like this one in that Cole got a clean win. You know, he needs the odd victory here and there where the guys don't interfere or just cause a distraction. Cole just comes in and beats somebody fair and square. And because it's somebody low card like Maluda, and he can then follow it up by turning down a match with Ricochet and walking away, it still keeps him firmly as the heel. It's not like, oh, he got a clean win and now we want to cheer him. I mean, the fans do want to cheer him because I don't know. They do. But
Today's Adam Cole.
But he's doing everything right as a heel. This was the Cole that I remember from ROH and the Cole that I like, where he got like, he looked impressive during the match against somebody below him. But as soon as somebody equal or better than him showed up, he made excuses. He backed off, he turned down the challenge, he hid behind his cronies. So yeah, I like all that with Cole. Justin, what'd you think about the Cole match, and then we'll talk about the take stuff separately.
It was good to see Cole get a quick clean win without Undisputed Era. I thought the Ricochet promo was really good. Something I was very, very happy to see was that, you know, despite the Full Sail crowd, 100%, I'm not sure if they cheer for Cole, if they just like playing along with Cole, but, you know, they all repeated his catchphrases. Like, if you watch this episode, you would think that Cole was the biggest babyface on the roster, you know, based on crowd reaction, you know, if you didn't know anything about wrestling or listen to the promos or anything. But then Ricochet was able to come out and turn this crowd mostly against Cole, and that was really good to see.
There is absolutely –
we have to remind ourselves, Justin. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say – Please, you go ahead. I'm going in a different direction.
I was just going to say the thing that Justin and I have to remind ourselves is that this is being taped in Florida, and Florida as a state – is a heel.
Oh, yeah. It's not just that Florida as a state is a heel, but there's a really solid chance that 50% of the people in the audience at any given moment in time are likely to like take a bunch of bath salts and try to feed themselves to a crocodile or something.
Well, as right as you are, there is that vocal contingent that that does seem to pride themselves on just knowing all the catchphrases and knowing all the timing of the entrances and everything and singing along just to prove that they can. But with Cole, it's definitely the majority of the audience, and it's louder, and I think there's more of an excitement for him versus just I know the lyrics to Aleister Black's song, so I'm gonna stomp and sing along with them, or pump my fist in the air and say war with the War Raiders just because it's something that I know that they do. With Cole, I feel like there's a genuine interest there for him. I did feel that he and Ricochet really hit a good note here. I mean, they're clearly not going to be the main event of TakeOver, but it's an interesting match that we haven't seen yet, and they're both playing their roles fine. And sometimes simple is fine. I'm totally in favor of this just being what it is, just Ricochet wanting as hard playing the role that he's playing. And I absolutely love getting these close-ups that I don't get to see live of how afraid Cole looked. You know, sure, he was just standing still. He wasn't freaking out, but you could just see the look on his face when Ricochet came out. And I thought that the interaction between them and their mic time back and forth was very effective in just selling this competitive mid-card match that it's going to be on TakeOver.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's I could see it being the opening match for TakeOver.
Sure.
Being a pretty dynamic opener to the show. Especially because the North American title is the mid-card title, essentially. That's our assumption, at least.
It'll be a good match. I'm looking forward to it.
So then Roddy and Kyle come out with the tag titles, and they're trying to team up on Ricochet. And first we get War Raiders, those Viking enthusiasts. They come out, they stare them down, and I had some serious flashbacks because the number of matches I've seen between Kyle O'Reilly and Hanson and Rowe, that's up there in the most matches I've seen of a feud. But always good, as you might imagine. And when we think it's getting kind of straightforward, all of a sudden Mustache Mountain are there too. So that raises some questions now.
It felt like they were planting seeds for War Games.
Ooh, but isn't that like that's November? Right?
Yeah, that's November.
If they do it again.
It was.
That's a long time to wait.
Especially with War Raiders being out there. I was just like, what? What are you doing? What's happening right now? That's in November. Come on.
No, I think we're going to see triple threat. And you also have to keep in mind that none of these teams are three-person teams. So.
Well, neither were AOP, and they got Roddy Strong.
But that was the only exception. They don't have to try turning – you don't want to try turning two teams into
– Ooh, War Raiders and Keith Lee, though? That would be a team.
What makes them all make a team? What makes them a great team together?
They're all from ROH, and they're all big guys.
So is everyone else in NXT?
Not in this sense that Hansen and Keith Lee are.
Mm, true. So I'm just making a joke at how much talent they've pirated from ROH.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
My thinking was, we're already assuming a triple threat in the main event at Brooklyn. I can't see
two triple threats
on the show.
Yeah, two triple threats. I don't like the feel of that. But
my guess is War Raiders and Mustache Mountain in a number one contender match in like 2 weeks.
Okay, I can see that.
And then Mustache Mountain can kind of be edged out and head back to NXT UK.
I can see
that show up and running. But Tom can't comment.
Right.
Ha ha. You've been gagged.
Can't say anything.
Judge Harley has gagged you.
Sometimes I'm very good at playing coy and speaking from a perspective as if I've only just seen this episode. But tonight, that's not coming to me. So I already screwed it up once. I'll refrain.
All right. Our next email comes from Chris Fielder. He says, "Hey guys, this was a really good show, top to bottom, in my opinion. First off, Adam Cole is freaking awesome. I thought for a split second he may have been turning face until he tucked tail and ran from Ricochet. The first part of their confrontation, Cole sounded like a face and Ricochet sounded like a cocky heel. I think the match between those two could be a match of the year candidate. Secondly, for once in her young career, I did not like Belair's promo. It seemed a little too scripted, like she didn't really believe what she was saying. At least one thing it did prove is that she's indeed a heel. A couple weeks ago, I couldn't tell, but it's clear as day now. Makes no difference to me, though. I will still love her the same. Lastly, the main event was amazing. I'm almost for the idea of leaving Black Ciampa and Gargano in NXT forever, just so we know Vince can't screw them up. What do you guys think? As always, thanks for doing my favorite wrestling podcast every week. Chris Fielder, baby. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. P.S. I think Moro could read the phone book out loud, and it would entertain the hell out of me. Tom. On, we'll get to Bianca in a second, which is why I read it here. So, what do you think about leaving Black Ciampa and Gargano and NXT forever? We kind of talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we had gone so long on it that I chose not to bring that up, but I was thinking that exact thing, that, you know, the main roster is such a cluster right now, and it becomes more and more of a gamble year on year as to whether NXT talents are going to click in the way that we think that they should based on what we've seen in NXT. And sure, sometimes it's just a matter of time before something ends up working out. But it seems if you're watching NXT, it seems like it's obvious that something should work right off the bat if you just book them correctly, or if there's more synchronicity or synergy between the booking staffs and Triple H and Vince and so on and so forth. So part of me was thinking, like, man, with Gargano and Ciampa in particular, I just sort of quietly joked to myself, like, I wonder if Triple H is like, okay, I've sent up enough people. Vince is doing fine. I'm just going to keep these guys because I don't want them to get messed up on the main roster and I want to keep them around. And, you know, again, it's working so far.
Justin, thoughts on the futures of Gargano, Ciampa, and Black?
I really need Black to get to the main roster and off NXT. Because
yeah, he will for sure.
I mean, his mystique is 100% gone at this point. So I just want him off of NXT. I've never seen somebody like fall out of my mental favor so quickly, just by winning a championship. I mean, but winning this championship just ruined the guy. Get him off NXT, please, quickly. Gargano, Ciampa. Again, I'm burnt out. It doesn't matter how good this TV is. I cannot sit down and eat Ruth's Chris all night. Eventually, I'm going to puke. I'm puking. Please, stop. Like, this this goose cannot be, what's the word I'm looking for? Gavaged, you know the word, you know, when they stick the funnel down the goose's throat. I can't do it anymore. I'm done.
Okay. He's done. Do not try to gavage Justin James.
Is that the right word? Did I get it right?
Can't do it. I don't know. I'm vegetarian.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Tom, you're vegetarian too?
Vegan, actually. But, you know, that's another conversation.
Okay.
If you're listening to this and you have any idea what Justin's talking about, pwtorchnxt@gmail.com.
How can you be vegetarian or vegan and not know all about the goose thing? That's what you guys always try to tell me, to tell me to stop eating meat.
Yeah. What can I say?
I'm a bad vegan. So, I eat sushi all the time. That's my one exception. When I made the switch over, I said I can't give up sushi though. So I'll pronounce a bunch of weird Japanese words for you, but not that one. Not that duck one.
Bianca Belair. Let's talk about Bianca. She wasn't on the show much this week, but she got a little promo. They acknowledged her not being in the match last week due to her supposed injury, asked how her injury is. She was not happy about it. She stressed that she's undefeated. Undefeated. Bianca Belair is undefeated in NXT. This year, she is 6-0, the best record of anyone in NXT. In NXT history, she's 7-0. And looking through my stats, the only other women in the history of NXT who are currently undefeated are Asuka, who was 25-0-1, won no contest, was the only blemish. And Raquel Diaz left NXT with a 2-0 record.
Speaking of Vicky Guerrero.
Yep.
Eddie and Vicky's oldest daughter, and I didn't know this, wife of Aiden English.
Really?
Yep. And former co-worker of my girlfriend's too. She's a really cool gal.
Maybe we can get an Aiden and Raquel versus Rusev and Lana feud on SmackDown.
You know, the funny thing, like when the two episodes she's on, I thought she was really good and I wanted to see more of her. I don't know what happened with her, and it's a shame because I really liked it.
Yeah, I remember her vaguely because it was many years ago now, but I remember she was getting a consistent push before she vanished all of a sudden and it became the Paige show. But yeah, Bianca Belair had her little promo talking about how she's undefeated. I found it fascinating myself that no woman on the current roster is undefeated. Nobody else has even like shown up and wrestled one match and won that and hasn't lost yet. Everybody else has lost at least one match on TV or never wrestled on TV. But we got that. We also have an email from a first-time emailer, Gerard Buhagiar from Detroit, asks, did you guys notice Bianca's shirt today? It said Melanin Monroe and was a caricature of the famous Marilyn Monroe dress-blowing scene, except in this case, Monroe is African-American. I found this hilarious and feel it really plays into her character, showing how much she thinks of herself in comparison to a legendary actress. This only makes me enjoy her and the role she's playing even more. Tom, on Bianca's promo, on her being undefeated, and on her wardrobe.
Yes, added to that, the seven-year itch scene was being portrayed by a Betty Boop character as well. So it was just all of that amalgamated together. I honestly don't have any comments on the promo because I was too busy tweeting about how I had learned finally what everybody's talking about when they say that someone has slain them in popular culture now. Like, oh, I just got slayed. I finally learned what that was when I looked at Bianca's shirt because that was phenomenal. I absolutely loved that shirt. And I just had to drop all my priorities and run to Twitter and at her to let her know.
So for someone who spends as much time on Twitter as you do, you had never understood that before?
I'm a 33-year-old man. I'm not going around saying that I'm being slayed.
I'm a 39-year-old man, and I don't say it either, but I knew what itself. It meant. I mean.
Yeah, I do know your reactions to Velveteen Dream segments, yes.
Yeah, you really, by the way, caused me some grief today.
Sorry that I misled you. The excellent, excellent Velveteen Dream promo that I'm sure we'll have a very fun conversation about, I think is going to be on the Go Home show. No spoilers.
Justin, what did you think about the Bianca segment, though? And she ended by kept reinforcing that she's undefeated, which would seem to be a sign of hubris. She's going to lose soon, and that's going to end her streak. But who's she going to lose to?
Nobody can beat Bianca Belair on this roster. Maybe Baszler. That's it. Baszler is the only person on this roster tough enough. And I'm not just saying this as a fan of Belair, but, you know, taking aside the fact that beyond the fact that I'm a fan of Belair, if you look at the way she's been booked, Shayna Baszler is the only person on this roster who can take her out and give her a loss. That's it. Who's going to beat her? Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai's win-loss record is horrific. Nikki Cross is like barely 50-50, if I had to guess. Candice.
Nikki Cross. We didn't mention this, but Nikki looks like she might be on the main roster.
All right. That's right.
Yeah.
She was standing on the stage at the start of Raw.
And you know what? She should have been there a couple months ago. And at least Nikki Cross is tough. You're like, you know, maybe Cross could get lucky and beat Baylor. Who else? Like Candice LeRae? Come on. Candice LeRae's got one win. One win.
So
who's gonna beat Bianca Belair? She's beaten everyone on this roster already, except for Baszler. So yeah, the problem there was just something about this promo for the first half of it where it just felt kind of off when they were dealing with this injury thing. And I'm not sure if maybe she actually has a legit injury or if they're just playing up the injury to keep her off TV for a couple more weeks while some other stuff gets resolved. I don't know, but it just felt off when they're discussing the injury. But once she got to the undefeated thing, I thought that was so well done. She just kept repeating it, undefeated. I forget the specifics, but she just made sure you knew she was undefeated and that nobody could hold a candle to her. And that was excellent.
And there was a little bit of that tonight, mentioning wins and losses. They made sure to point out, Percy pointed out in the main event, Black hasn't lost any one-on-one matches ever. And they talked about somebody's win-loss records at another point too. But just like reinforcing that, hey, it actually matters. Every match matters here, even if something's not officially on the line. And that's always important to a wrestling world. Only other thing on this week, Lacey Evans defeating Tenille Price. I have nothing on this one. Either you guys?
She has a new t-shirt on WWE Shop, and it's a really cool design, but they did not have it at the merch truck at the tapings.
Yeah, you mentioned you're disappointed about that.
So did she.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, that's it. So Lacey, yeah, picked up a little win, and she's still getting pushed for something. I don't know. Do we get Lacey and Bianca as, like, the Brooklyn pre-show? That it seems weird. You'd have to be turning Bianca face, which they could do easily, but it would seem like a weird choice.
I feel like she's in between right now. So whether Shayna retains or Kairi wins, Bianca is still a viable challenger.
Yep, I agree.
All right. So TakeOver Brooklyn. We only have three more episodes of television between now and Brooklyn. We know it's Baszler and Sane for the women's title. We assume Cole and Ricochet for the North American. We assume Velveteen and EC3, something with Undisputed Era and War Raiders, Mustache Mountain maybe something with Ciampa, Black, and Gargano. And if so, that's five matches. That would presume to be our card, unless something crazy happens in the next few weeks. Which Tom can't call.
All right, keeping my mouth shut.
So our last email of the week, Jeff from Wisconsin writes in and says, as we build toward the next takeover, what are your thoughts on the expanding roster of NXT? Do you see some potential cuts coming? Or do you think the roster for NXT could possibly get diluted? Lastly, if we're heading towards a triple threat with Gargano, Ciampa, and Black, who do you think would be the next number one contender post-takeover? I greatly enjoy listening to the podcast. Keep up the great work. Jeff from Waukesha, Wisconsin. So, thoughts on the expanding roster of NXT. Tom can attest to this. I want to say there are probably, what, two or three times as many people in NXT as we see on television.
Absolutely.
There are like dozens of people who wrestle at house shows but never on TV. I'm thinking of like people like Chad Lale or Gunner, people who don't even wrestle at house shows, like the you know, when they sign models or football players who might have potential but have a long, long way to go before they're in front of a live crowd.
Dan Matha, so, Fabian Aichner. And these guys have been on TV once or twice, but I feel very confident that every time I show up to an NXT live event, I'll see Dan Matha or Fabian Aichner.
Jason Chang.
I haven't seen that one yet. I haven't seen him yet.
But yeah, so I don't think there's any danger of cuts unless it's somebody, you know, for a personal issue or something. They seem to have plenty of room for new signees and new hirings in developmental and at the performance center. As for on TV, that's where things get a bit cloudy, and that's when we run into these situations where there are guys we might want to see more of, like Aichner or like Dijakovic, and there's just not room for them at this point in time.
Yeah, Chris Dijak or Dominic Dijak, as I guess he's now going by.
I thought it was like Dominic Dijakovic or something.
Oh yeah, he changed. I don't know if that's supposed to be.
It's just Twitter. It doesn't count.
And he's hashtagging himself as the double D. So you know, but yeah. And then like speaking of the dark match at the tapings, refereed by Aubrey Edwards, was Jeet Rama, an Indian wrestler, against Chase Adams. And Harley, I think you know who Chase Adams is. He goes by a different name elsewhere. Yeah.
No, what's his other name?
Okay, Patch. No, I don't know. I thought maybe it was Kelly who knew about him. I think he wears a different name on his trunks and he shows up at other places. But, you know, that's not uncommon either. Jeet, probably just because his first name is fun to say, was actually really over with the live crowd. Of course, a lot of these people in the tapings crowd go to a lot of the local live events as well. So they're probably much more familiar with him than I am. I'm not able to get out to as many of those. Gosh, it's almost been a year since the last one I was at, but it's fascinating because you do get to see people like Jeet or like Jason Chang. I saw Jason Chang at a live event. I would have no idea who he is otherwise, but I was really impressed with him. I think he's doing some interesting character work, or at least he was a year ago. And then, you know, then they've got all these Saudi signees now, and then they brought in a whole bunch of Chinese signees. Jason Chang is one of them, who just pop up every once in a while. And they've got this UK show now. How much longer is it going to be before we have a Saudi performance center or a Chinese performance center and other NXT brands popping up? It you know, might not be a complete fantasy for this to become a worldwide developmental system.
Yeah, the sky's the limit, especially we see with the Cruiserweight Classic, the Mae Young Classic, the number of people that they bring in. And then half those people, it seems, get offered contracts. It just always becomes the question now, like we were talking about with Gargano and Ciampa, which is once you've been in NXT for a long time, the usual process, you go up to Raw or SmackDown. But when there's no more room on Raw and SmackDown, what the hell do you do? And that's a question we're starting to run into. As to number one contender after TakeOver Brooklyn, I don't know. On this show, we kind of settled on the idea of Ciampa retains and then continues his feud with Gargano. Whether or not we all like that idea, that kind of seems the most plausible, I guess, at this point, because nobody else jumps out to me as a strong, you know, they could go with EC3, they could go with Dream, but those seem unlikely at this point, I think.
They have been toying. I know this is an outside chance, super outside. I think, you know, a token North American title challenge coming out on the losing end would be far more believable in this situation. But they have been toying with a heel turn for Cassius Ohno. And
yeah, that's pretty obvious.
I could see him being leveraged into that position just to be like a monster of the month for whoever the champion is. You know, in this case, I'm presuming a babyface, a former best friend, maybe. To someone to overcome, and it would just be sort of a feel good, like Ohno has worked this hard for this long and he's getting this spotlight, even if it's just for one show, kind of thing. I think that's something that comes to mind. Other than that, I'd have to do some more pondering, because beyond that, I think any of my other suppositions right now are exactly what you were saying, just a continuation of Ciampa Gargano.
Or they do a hotshot thing like they did with Kevin Owens and have, you know, someone like Keith Lee show up and go right into the main event scene. But yeah, I don't know. Last thing before we sign off this week, Tom, Justin, before the Ciampa Gargano feud, what was the longest non-title singles match at a takeover?
I'm still going to say Cesaro, Zayn, 2 out of 3 falls. I'm probably wrong, but...
You are wrong, because the 2 out of 3 falls match took place on television.
You're kidding. It did. That's true. Yeah. Oh.
August 2013, before any of the NXT.
Yeah, no.
Before the WWE Network.
Oh. I thought that was the wrong couple.
So you know what? Was it the four horsewomen? What was it? Three of the horsewomen in Bailey, number one contender fatal four way.
Nope. Tom, any guesses?
I mean, I guess my other one would be Sammy Shinsuke.
That was fairly long.
And Bailey was the other four horsewoman. Come on.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Charlotte and Sasha.
God, you know what? I just bought into something that I saw. I totally forgot. You know, it's Alexa that was left out of the horsewoman, not Bailey.
Oh yes. Yeah, she's hanging out with Blake Murphy.
Yeah.
No, the correct answer, and I don't have a guess here because Kelly sent me the answer before I could think of a guess, and trying to pretend to think of one afterwards, I'm...
Spoiler. Well. Sure.
The correct answer, Justin, very close. It is Cesaro versus Sami Zayn at NXT Arrival in a singles match.
So we were...
2 out of 3 falls.
So we were thinking of the right match.
Maybe. We were thinking of the right feud, Tom.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Tom Staub, so, don't try to take credit for my answer.
Evidently, they had the 2 out of 3 falls match on television August 2013. And then the following February at NXT Arrival, which is the very first event on the network, the very first unofficial takeover, they had their final match against each other before Cesaro left NXT.
Okay.
And that match was 22 minutes and 55 seconds long. So there you go. That was the big blow off to Cesaro and Sami. They had such a hot feud. How can we not do this match again on the first network special? It'd be crazy not to. So there you go. Thank you to Kelly Wells for stumping us all, even though he's not here. Next week on television, it's EC3 versus the finest, Kona Reeves.
Oh boy.
I hope that's the main event, because Kona deserves it.
Oh, boy.
And there'll be some other stuff. There'll be some sort of women's match, Dakota Kai versus someone, maybe, or something. I don't know. Whatever. We've been talking for a long-ass time. That's what happens when Kelly's not here to box us in. My name is Harley R. Padgett. In addition to this show, I host the Tuesday livecast, Talking Honor, and the PW Torch VIP podcast, Elite Repeat, where we discuss old episodes of Being the Elite, the Young Bucks YouTube series. You can find me on Twitter at Talking Honor. Tom, what's your deal?
I'm at Tom Staup. I do the NXT TV reports and, that's what Justin does. I do the NXT taping reports.
Once again, you're trying to steal my gimmick. You're trying to steal my gimmick, Tom.
And I do the MLW TV tapings reports. And while we've been talking, I've been Googling goose cooking recipes, and I'm not finding anything. So I think this might be a situation like Billy Crystal in The Princess Bride, where he's just going, oh, yeah, sure. He said to blave. Yeah,
no, to it's not what you do to cook the goose. It's what they do to fatten the goose.
Well, maybe
they shove a long funnel down.
Tune in next week.
They shove a long funnel down the throat and like force feed it stuff to make it fat.
Oh, well, it's still alive?
Yes.
Oh,
no,
that's horrifying.
Feed the dead goose, Tom.
Well,
come on.
Follow him at Justin_M_James for TV reports.
That's
and,
old phrase.
And
you can't feed a dead goose.
I mean, this is going to be like an R-Truth with the theme with the cat, isn't it?
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. Good night.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Now